This is good, Father God. This is good. Your Spirit is in this place, Father. Lord, I pray that the lips of your servant are anointed. I pray the ears of this body of believers are anointed, Father. I pray the hearts are open to the message they are about to receive from your servant. We pray for transformation for the people who will be blessed by what they're about to hear. We pray against any distractions. We pray your anointing be upon this place, Lord, in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, brother. Hey, can I just start by saying one of my favorite things in the world, one of my favorite moments in the entire week is Sunday morning when the group of kids just come up over here and they dance and they wave the flags and they just, it's completely unhindered. There's not a care in the world. They're not worried about someone coming up, telling them they're doing something wrong. They're in a place, maybe they're in a place of worship, maybe they don't even understand yet, but it's fun and it's safe for them. And when I look over that, that reminds me of where we need to be as people. Fun and safe, worshiping God unhindered. And we have a story here this morning of some people who go after this, worship God unhindered, not holding them back in any way, shape, or form. And for me, every single Sunday morning, there's a group of kids up here who model that for us. We're in the book of Daniel. We've been going through the book of Daniel. We're looking at stories in Daniel. So we did chapter 1 last week. We looked about how Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all decided that they were not going to follow the pattern that was prescribed to them about how they were to eat. They were going to follow the customs and the laws that God had given to them. And they followed them, and they turned out better off. We've been talking about the fact that in 2016, there's three things that this church should focus on. The first is listening to God. The second is growing deep in our relationship with him and bringing others along with us. And the third is loving our community in ways that they can see God through us. Right? Those are three things that we're looking at. And I think all those things are modeled in these stories that we're looking at. And that's why we're looking at these stories in the Old Testament. They're great stories. They're a great read. But they're not just a story in the Old Testament where we look at them and go, oh, wow, that's great. There's something transformational when we look at them that it can have an effect on our lives. There's something transformational there. And this is a crazy story. This is an unbelievable story, but there's some transformational things that take place in this story that can have an impact in your life and my life, and I want us to look at them this morning. But before we go any further, I just want to go back to what we talked about a little bit last week and look at the names of these three guys that we're going to see in this story here for a second. First of all, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were names that were given to them by the country that took them into captivity. Okay? Their given names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And originally their names, Hananiah meant grace of the Lord, Mishael meant he that is strong in God, and Azariah is the Lord is my help. That's what their names meant. Everything about their name, their identity, was worship to the God that they served. And when they got drawn into captivity, their names were switched, transformed into names that worshiped other gods. And so Hananiah, whose name meant grace in the Lord, was switched to Shadrach, which is inspiration of the sun, which was something the Chaldeans, that we're going to get to in a second, worshiped. The second guy, Mishael, was now named Meshach. So his name went from strong in God to him that worships the goddess. So we went from this very masculine name that worships God to a feminine name that worships a goddess. This was the transformation that had to take place in their identity. The last one, Azariah, his name was changed to Abednego. It was the Lord's help. Now it meant servant of the shining fire. And so their identities were here. When they got pulled into captivity, their identities were changed to no longer, when their name was mentioned, worship God, but to worship the gods of the people that they were taken into captivity with. So with that understanding, let's dive into this story. Because this is a crazy story. It's a crazy story. In verse 1, this is what it says. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura. in the province of Babylon. Then he summoned the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judge, the magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image that he had set up. So the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judge, the magistrates, and all the other provincial officers assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all other kinds of music, you are to fall down, and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the burning furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers, or Chaldeans, came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and the pipes, and all other kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set up over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. Sorry, I don't know if I mentioned, we're in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 this morning. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's page 857 in the Bible in front of you. This crazy story. And as we look at this story, this is what I want to do. I want us to highlight the people in this story. I want us to look at the people in this story. I want us to look at their character, everything about them, what's going on, how they're responding to what's going on around them. So the first group of people I want to look at, the first person I want to look at is King Nebi. King Nebuchadnezzar, he builds something to be worshipped. He wants music, and everybody, he wants this great, awesome, magical craziness, loud, obnoxious noise to come up, and he wants everybody to fall down and worship an image that he created. So we'll call him the narcissist. He wants everything that he's doing to be honored and given glory. Everything that he's doing, everything that he's done, he wants them, everyone around him, to fall down and worship what he has created. Maybe you know somebody like this in your life. Maybe you've been this somebody in your life. As we look at each one of these characters, I want us to examine ourselves and say, hey, does that one resonate with me at all? Does that one sit in here too much? I think there's times in my life, believe it or not, where I think I could identify with this king. There's times in my life when I've asked somebody to do something and they decide not to do it, that everything inside of me goes, and I just want to strangle. Maybe as a parent, you have commanded something to take place and your little minions did not follow suit, and there's this stirring inside of you that goes, I must be respected. We'll come back to that one. Just let that one permeate. That might take a little time. Then all these other government officials, all these people, the list of all these names, and we don't know what they all meant. There's been lots of studies into who these groups of people are and what their roles were, and it's just all, there's a bunch of leaders all over the place. And they were asked to bow down and worship. What did they do? Let's do it. The word here that asked them to fall down is this concept of literally just falling down. So even in his command, Nebuchadnezzar's command of, I want you to fall down and worship, which was the prostrate, to lay out flat. I want you to fall down and prostrate yourself before this. He could have used other words that were really own this concept of worshiping this image that he had commanded them to do. But really, his command is just fall down and do what I tell you. And so they do. They just fall down, lay prostrate before this golden image. They just lay there. Maybe sometime in your life, there's been things going on and somebody's doing something, a bunch of people are doing something. All of a sudden, you just find yourself just going along with the flow. One of my favorite things is whenever we did something stupid when I was a kid, and maybe you've heard this phrase before, if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump off with them? And I always thought, well, I don't know, maybe if I had a parachute, there's times in our lives where we kind of just get caught up in everything that's going on. Maybe it's culture, maybe just caught up. And when all of a sudden, before we know it, we're in a place doing something that we just really just don't even believe. We had this awesome pond behind our house growing up, and the neighbors were super gracious, and they would let us come anytime that, as soon as in the wintertime, which we're struggling to experience completely here, but in the wintertime, that thing would freeze over, and they would let us come over, and they would let us skate on their pond. They didn't require anything of us. So one time, a group of my friends, and I'm thankful I was not there, but all of a sudden, somebody decides it would be a great idea to pick up a rock and throw it at the house of the people that let us skate on their pond. And this is one kid throwing a rock at the house, aluminum siding, ding, 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 ding. And another kid, oh, well, that's fun. That's a game I like to play. Let's throw rocks. So then another kid. And then before long, all the kids that were there are throwing rocks at this house. There is no rhyme or reason to this thing whatsoever, but everybody's doing it. So, well, let's just do it. Let's just go along. $12,000 later, each kid has to pony up about $3,000. Sometimes in our lives, there's something going on, and we just find ourselves going right along with what everybody else is doing, even if it doesn't line up with the convictions of our soul. So maybe, just maybe, you find yourself blindly following along sometime. And my question for us this morning, for that group of people, is why? Let's keep going. Then you have this group of astrologers. Really, the translation is Chaldeans, which is the group of people that lived in the area at the time. There's a lot of evidence that show that Nebuchadnezzar was probably a Chaldean, and Chaldeans were very fascinated by anything magical, any kind of like sorcery or magic or anything that had to do with the stars that would dictate what was going on in life. They were very fascinated by all those kind of things, anything magical they were fascinated by. And these people come to the king, and they start tattletaling on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Maybe they're the tattletalers. You don't know anybody like that in your life. You've never experienced a tattleteller. No one's ever been a tattletaler. Or the instigator, right? These tattletalers are these instigators. Like, I maybe, just maybe, at one time in my life, have been a tattleteller, just being fully honest with you this morning. And maybe, just maybe, at one point in my life, I've been the instigator. Just maybe at one point in my life, I may have chided somebody so they go after somebody else. Just full disclosure this morning. And they come up, and they see what's going on, and there's a variety of reasons why people do this, right? Maybe they're tattletaling because they're the justice person, right? And everything's got to be fair. Well, they're not doing it. Everybody's got to do it. Or the instigator piece of it, they just want to see somebody else get in trouble. I may or may not have done that in my life. I, I had this one friend in high school, and I mean, he loved to instigate anything and everything. If there's an opportunity for him to instigate something, in his mind it was fun. Like in his mind, hey, you know, school's boring, let's stir the pot a little bit, let's get something going. He would flick somebody in the head, turn around, and they would turn around, and somebody else would be there, and he'd smack them, and next thing you know, somebody's getting in trouble. Like, that was his thing. One day in gym class, we're playing basketball, and this kid comes over and he shoves me, and there's something innate inside of me that goes, I'm not going to let this kid shove me. I'm bigger than him. I'm going to squash him like a bug. And this kid turns around and he goes, Jeff, man, you're not going to let that go, are you? You don't let that go? He just shoved you. You should go after him. And all of a sudden, inside of me, going, I should squash him. And so I go running down the court, and I'm like, we're playing basketball. And you got to understand something. I'm terrible at basketball. I'm terrible. I've got like a -1-inch vertical because I'm a little fa-fa right now. And he's running down the court, and everything inside of me is like, I got to squash this kid. And I go up, and I really just wanted to, like, wreck him. I'm listening to this kid, and I just want to, like, everything, like, all of a sudden, all the Jesus stuff in my brain just kind of discarded. I'm like, I must, and I'm running down, and he jumps up, and I jump up. And instead of wrecking him, I pin the ball against the backboard. This has never happened in my entire life. I pin the ball against the backboard, and I grab it, and I come down. I did, and I toss the ball. But in the meantime, I ripped the kid's shirt, like, right, I just ripped his shirt, like, right down his back, and my thumb caught it or something, ripped his shirt. And so the instigator walks up to him and goes, hey, man, he ripped your shirt. You're gonna let that stand? You should go destroy him. And he's a little bit smaller than me, and he comes running up to me and goes, I'm going to deal with you after school. And he walks away. The next day, like, six guys are walking down the hallway towards me, and I'm like, oh, yay. And they walk up to me, we're going to crash you, we're going to kill you. I'm like, hey, listen, my bad, I'm sorry, I apologize. And the instigator's sitting there, oh, no, fight, 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 fight. Maybe, just maybe in your life, you've experienced the instigator or the tattletale, someone who stirs the pot or wants the justice thing or just wants there to be utter chaos in the situation to keep you away from your focus of where you're supposed to be, to distract you and take you away from what matters. And you've got this group of instigators, these tattletellers who come to the king and go, King, you're not going to let that stand, are you? Look at these guys over here. You should do something. And then we got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These people that worshiped the one true God. And their first and second command from God is, honor God, worship him only, and don't make any idols to put in my place and worship them. Those are the first two commands in the Ten Commandments that they were given. And this king, who they now serve, is asking them to break the first two commands that their God has given them. And they have a choice. They have a choice to follow their convictions of the God that they serve, or to follow what their king is asking them to do and fall down and worship this idol. Now, they could have just gone along with it because they didn't really use the word to worship, right? Just fall down, just lay down before. So they could have explained it away and said, he's not really asking us to worship this idol. He's just fall down. And then maybe sometimes in our lives, well, this is not really bad. This really doesn't go against my beliefs in God. I'll just justify it a little bit and just kind of put it over here and go, it's all right. I can do that. They have a choice. And they choose to honor the convictions of their service to the God that they choose. That in my mind is very honorable. Because their choice was honor the God you serve or die. Or fake it and be dishonorable to God. So you've got these kind of four groups of people here, right? You've got the king who's just full of like pride and power, wants everybody to follow his lead. You've got these groups of people that just follow along, whatever, just let's get it done. You got these instigators, these guys that like to stir the pot. And then you've got this group of three young men who decide to follow their convictions. Let's keep going with the story, because this is good. This is good. In verse 14, it says, "And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are all ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hands?' Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If you throw us into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image that you have set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. And he ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual, and he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace, so that these men, wearing their robes and trousers and turbans and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames killed the soldiers who took them up, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace." So let's follow this character development of this person who is so consumed with power and being right and people listening to them and following his command. When he is defied, his countenance changes for these people that serve him. And he is so enraged that he is willing to sacrifice his strongest men to make sure everybody understands how powerful he is. This is narcissism to its extreme. You dare to defy me? You dare challenge me? Notice that he doesn't give them another opportunity to challenge him, though. Because if he gives them another opportunity to challenge him and they stand up in defiance of him, what will happen to everybody else? Look, these guys are willing to do it. Maybe I will. He doesn't give them an opportunity. He stokes that fire, gets his best people, ties them up, and chucks them in. And at the expense of his anger that is welled up inside of him, he loses his strongest people at the expense of his anger, at the expense of his rightness being challenged. And then you've got these three young men. And notice, that their response is not, "You're such an idiot. Don't you understand that our God is more powerful than your gods? Oh my goodness, king, this is silly. You're acting silly. No, they treat him with reverence and respect while challenging the decision that he has made. "O king" is not a defiant term. It is king. You are king. You have been placed in leadership above us at this moment in time, but we cannot do what you're asking us to do. They don't go rogue. They just say, "We can't do it." Why? Because we have two first commands from God to us. The first is we have to honor him only. We can't worship an image that was created by man. We can't do it. And they take that conviction another step forward and say, "Listen, our God will save us. He'll save us. Throw us in there." I don't know about you, but I don't know if that would be my first response. I would probably try to explain my way out of this, if I'm being honest. you know, king, you don't really need to do this. I think we could come to some amicable, you know, conclusion here. You don't need to chuck us in. Let's talk about this. No, they're so stuck in their convictions of the God that they serve, they know that he has power. Yet it's okay if he doesn't follow through. He will save us. He's going to do it. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. We can't. And I want to tell you right here at this moment, right now, I think even if God decided not to save them, he would still be God and he would still be good. It happens every single day in this world where people stand up in their convictions of the God that they serve and God chooses not to save them. Why? Because this world is temporary and his is not. So if they die in this world, it does not matter because now he's got his worshipers with him in his presence. They can worship him here or they can worship him there. And it doesn't matter if it's here or there. But today, in this moment, in this story, God goes, you know what? I'm going to do something. I'm going to flip the scripts. I'm going to change the story. Okay, you're going to take these guys who worship me and take their identity and their names and steal it from them and change it to something you worship? Okay, you're going to change their name to worshiper of the fire? Okay, watch what I'll do. That fire I created. So good. So as I'm looking at these two characters as we've continued the story, I have a thought of, am I willing to follow my convictions as much as these three guys? And on the other end of the story, what happens when my power and my authority is challenged? How do I respond? Because both of them are possible. Every single day in my life, I have an opportunity to honor the convictions that God has asked me to honor. And every single day in my life, there's an opportunity for the power that I have to be usurped and to be challenged. And I have an opportunity to see if it matters that much to me that I care that I'm wronged or that it matters that God is seen. Let's keep going in the story because this is where it gets... It's not crazy already. It gets crazy. Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Listen to this. Servant of the Most High God. Come on, man. Come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their very lives rather than serve and worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other god can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Crazy. So look at this for a second. Look at these boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Azariah, Mishael, and Azariah. They stay true to their conviction even to the point of death. Not only does God save them, but there's not even a hint of smoke on them. These people that just blindly fell down and worshiped. They come up and they're doing the smell test. Nothing's wrong with, what? Wow, maybe we shouldn't have just fallen down on our faces. Maybe we should have listened to these guys who had this such strong conviction and followed through with it. And I think our question is, are we willing to stay true to our convictions, even to the point of death? And maybe that's extreme. And then maybe it's not. Are we willing to stand true to our convictions, even to the point of death? Here's Nebi. Notice the verbiage that comes out of this narcissist. Notice the verbiage that comes out of this person who is defiled when he sees true and real power. He thought he was powerful. Look what he says. Servant of the Most High God, the God that I was unwilling to serve, the God that I was unwilling to believe in, the God who I did not believe would do anything. Oh, you are so reverent, God. Servant of the Most High God. Praise be that God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. For he sent an angel to help them. They trusted in him so much that they defied the king's command. Notice that he doesn't say that they defied my command. All of a sudden he switches to the third person and goes, they were willing to defy the king's command. He's separating himself from this. Why? Because he just saw real power and probably he's terrified. He threw these guys who worship the God who stops fire from lighting people on fire. He throws these people into fire and they come out. And all of a sudden he realizes in his soul, wait a second, there's somebody, something more powerful than me. I'm just going to step back for a second and go, But notice that in this story, he never worships their God. Anybody who speaks against their God, they should be cut to pieces and will destroy their homes. But he doesn't say, you know what, everybody, all you people who are sitting here, when all that music was played and I told you to bow down and worship this image that I've created, but now all of a sudden we've seen real power. Hey, everybody, let's get down and give praise and worship right now to the one true God who has all power. He does not say that to them. There's still something in his soul that is unwilling to change because he's been disagreed with. He's been usurped in front of all his people. He's been made to look bad. But let's switch the story off of me. Let's deflect. Oh, yeah, it's great. That's great. That's awesome. This God. Woo! And inside. So this morning, as we wrap up and the worship team comes back up, I think there's a couple questions in our minds that we have to grapple with. Because this is our desire. That every single Sunday that you walk in those doors, that you do not leave the same way that you came, right? Our desire is that a transformation takes place in your heart, mind, and soul. And maybe you have a relationship with this God that I've been talking about for the last 25 minutes, and maybe you don't. But as we look at these steps to get us to a place where we're willing to believe and can be convicted by that one true God, I think there's some steps that we can take. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you believe and there's this conviction between that you and that one true God. But you find yourself falling into the patterns of some of these other characters. I started off by saying the three things that we want to focus on this year going forward are listening to God, growing deep in our relationship with Him, and loving the people around us. I want us this week to look at these four groups of people. Not now, because this is way more than figure this out in the next 10 minutes. And maybe you need to write these down. Maybe you need to put them in your phone. Maybe you need to give yourself a little announcement. But do you find yourself just conforming to everything that's going on around you instead of following your convictions? Well, everybody else is doing it. I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look out of alignment with what's going on. Maybe that's yours to own this morning. Maybe you need to spend this week going, I don't want to be that person anymore. I don't want to conform to everything that's going on. I want to stay true to my convictions and worship that God. Maybe you find yourself as the tattletale. I just want everything to be fair. It's not fair. I want everything to be fair. Are you willing this week to analyze yourself and get up, get away from it? It's got to be fair. Everybody's got to have, it's all got to be fair. Are you willing to give that up so that God can transform you? Are you willing to give up the tattletale or the instigator, all that kind of concept, so that God can get to where you need to be? So your focus and intention is on Him. And guess what? When you do that, the world will look a whole lot more fair in your eyes because you'll see people who want to be where you are. Maybe you find yourself on the power trip. Maybe in your work or in your home or in your environment, you find yourself falling into that pattern. But I have to be respected. I have to be honored. I need my due. Are you willing to give up a little bit of that so that you can stay true to the convictions that the God of the universe has for you? And if you find yourself following your convictions in your life, this moment, this week, this year, I say to you, keep going. Keep going. Keep going because you are making a difference in this world. And the more that the God that you serve is honored in your conviction, the more the world sees a difference, and the more the world wants and understands their need for what you have. So will you stand this morning and let's finish the service with giving God the honor that He's due, and then when we go out, let's go out transformed.